Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics! I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System. It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Optirox, Tektite's levers, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go, Link. Yeah, get Zelda. Awesome. Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold separately.
Could you see?
There you are, everybody. The beginning of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
Wow, remember when everyone 30? Could rap? That was good times.
All right, so here we are, Chatterbox Video Game Radio, October 30th, show, like, 94?
Something like that.
Not really show 94, because there's ones in between that didn't exist.
Yeah.
But, like, the 94th week of the show, anyway.
Sure. Yeah, you can go off that.
Here we are. We talk about video games, and you get to talk about video games, too, by calling us at 866-536-1100. But don't call yet, because we don't want to talk to you until, like, the third segment, maybe.
Yeah, don't waste a half hour of your time.
Yeah, you'll just be on hold forever. But we'll get to the callers who want to talk in a while, and we will let you know when that is. So today we've got all sorts of stuff to talk about. Nate has his bag of things, and I've got my bag of things, so here's how we'll start. First of all, you may notice that we're on at a different time slot than usual. If you're listening to the podcast because you missed the show, here's the explanation. In Arizona, where we are located, we don't change our clocks.
Unfortunately, we're special.
Yeah, the rest of the world does. So it's 7 o'clock for us right now, but it might be 6 for you, it might be 9, rather than 7 or 10. You get the drift. If you changed your clocks, then the time of the show changed. That's all I got to say. So if you're listening to a podcast, I guess it doesn't really matter anyway.
It doesn't really matter, yeah.
You can play whenever you want. But we like live people, because then they can call in and talk to us, too. All right, that's bit number one I had to get out of the way. Also, next week, we're going to have Cameron Taylor from Razer. Those are the people who make those killer gaming mice and the special mousing surfaces and all that. They make some really awesome mouse products, and so I wanted to get this guy on to tell us about the new things and about the history of the company, because it started, like, you know, with the one president guy or a couple of, I don't even know.
That's the president we're having on, correct?
No, we were going to have Cameron, then we were going to have the president, now we're going to have Cameron again.
Okay.
Yeah, getting this interview set up was, I don't know, it was like plowing snow in January in New Hampshire. Really
pretty bad, huh?
Go through a lot of red tape and bureaucracy to finally get this going. But he's going to be on with us next week. So if you have questions about their products or about the history of the company or whatever, you know, give a listen, call in, talk to him. That's what we're going to be doing. And it'll be a good time because I really respect the company. I don't bring on people who I think suck. So that'll be fun. Also, last week, I think it was, or the few days before last week, I got 20 boxes of mod kits provided by MGE. I don't even know what that stands for. But if you go to xgbox.com, I guess that's like Extreme Gamer Box, then you can see what I'm talking about. We have all these mod kits.
Yeah, you get like a fan and a light.
Yeah, a fan and a fan grill and a giant cathode tube light and a laser beam and lasers. It's cool.
This will look good in my computer.
Exactly. I've got a bunch of these to give away. Mod kits for your home PC, your desktop.
Yes.
I don't know how to give them away, though. I want to do like some big thing where we give away like 10 at a time or something.
I like the audio bits.
Yeah, so if you have suggestions, Nate's thinking like we can get you to come up with funny audio bits for 10 seconds.
Yeah,
we'll play them on the air.
Yeah, something easy, and then, you know, you get one.
Basically, if you do anything to make me laugh, I have the freedom to just send these out at will. So feel free to do that.
Did everyone get to hear my mail doo-doo there?
No.
No? Okay.
All right, so anyway, I'm looking for ways or reasons to give these things away because I've got a ton of them. So, you know, give me your ideas. Feel free to call in or send me an email or whatever, and we'll figure that out, and maybe you can get some free mod kits. Now on to the show. We've wasted enough time. Like to start off the show with what I've been playing lately. I finally got to play Far Cry Instincts for the Xbox.
You love that game, especially the ladders. You were loving the ladders.
The ladders are a bit messy, as with any other ladder in a first-person shooter. The problem with this game, of course, is that your energy is dropped a lot when you fall from a great distance.
Or you could just die.
Yeah, like a sniper tower.
As I've seen several times.
Exactly. So, like, I fell off of a sniper tower because I apparently couldn't grasp climbing down a ladder and died. But aside from that little bit, and I got used to it after trying a few times, the game is pretty good. I haven't gone through more than, like, the first few hours, and I think there's a whole lot of game, because a major part of this is how you get, like, instinctive powers or whatever. You become sort of like an animal. And it took me forever to even get to the point where I got those. So I figure I'm still pretty early on in the game. But it doesn't give you a percentage or anything. Like other Ubisoft games, it's just riddled
really buggy.
With bugs and problems that make you have to, like... I haven't had to flat-out restart yet, but one time I came real close because I was just stuck in geometry or something. Really pisses me off, too, because you can't save the game. It just saves automatically, you know, when you get to a certain point. Just like Stubbs the Zombie.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You get to a point, and, oh, suddenly it's saving. Don't turn off your Xbox. It could explode. So you have to just keep going until you get somewhere new.
That's great. I also like how apparently in Far Cry universe, it takes 3 shots to the back of the head to kill somebody.
Yeah, not always. Sometimes with I don't know. It's weird. You shoot him in the head. Really, the PC game, a lot more realistic, better AI.
Yeah.
Just did a much better job. But still, I'm liking the game. There's this cool little bit where you can, you know, you go prone, right? You can either crouch, or go prone close to the ground. So there's 2 levels of not standing. And if you're prone, you can flip over on your back and go underneath a building and shoot somebody through floorboards and stuff. I don't really like going on my back. It's hard to know what you're doing because the way the camera is working, but it's still a lot of fun. Just the fact
I saw you
do it
many times. You were shooting that guy in the butt. It was hilarious.
I was trying to impress you guys with my cool maneuverability and my skills because I could go on my back. Of course, you could do it too if you were playing.
Yeah.
So anyway, the game's good. I need a little more time with it to learn if it's really that good. I found myself getting a little bit bored with the repetition, but we'll see.
Speaking of repetition... I didn't personally play it, but I feel like I did because I was there the whole time while she was playing it. My girlfriend, by the way. She was playing Shadows of Colossus, a game that I bought her, by the way, just so I get more points there.
Wow, you're a king.
I am. But we finished that up this weekend. I mainly just annoyed her by saying, you know, you should do this. And, like, I think that's it. See, it would kind of piss her off because I was always right.
Dude, you're a backseat gamer extraordinaire.
I am all about that. I thought the game was really good. For what I saw, she seemed to really enjoy it.
The irony here is when I played the demo, you were like, dude, that game is lame.
It is really boring. And, like, there was some... I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But there's just... I know if I played the game, I would have not made it more than halfway through. Like, there would be a third of it where there would be this one boss where I said, wow, this game's AIDS, and it's really annoying, and I don't want to play it anymore.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm glad you're able to get through it by not actually playing it and watch somebody competent play.
That's right.
Instead.
I do feel at the end, though, there's, like, more than one ending. Because I won't, like, say
any
details.
So maybe if you play, you can find out if there really are different.
Really, I just want to play that one end part. Because I really don't want to do any of the work.
Well, she's probably saved it. You can go back and play.
Yeah, I guess she has.
Okay. Well, good. Kudos to you for not playing the game. I appreciate that.
It's not my game. I'm just... saying what I saw. I think people would enjoy it who like games like that.
That's what I was trying to tell you 2 weeks ago, and you were like, no, that game is dumb. I was trying to explain that it's not dumb. Although, I gotta say, a game for which, like, the control is of such paramount importance, like...
Yeah, they like
the
to...
The control could have been improved significantly.
Where there's points where it's key that you see your character and the camera not move. That's the time they like to make the camera move a lot.
Yeah, I think what happened... I'm totally taking a guess here. I think what happened is the programmers, the developers, decided that they wanted to make the game as universal as possible, like the control mechanisms, not make such context sensitivity where, like, if you're, you know, by a ledge, then suddenly he acts differently to better grasp it, right? They just wanted a guy who could run around and jump and catch things so that, like, you don't have to build the level to make sure that the ledge is, you know, 3 jump distances away or something to make sure it worked. Like, in Prince of Persia, everything's sort of based on, like, position. Like, you're in plot number 1, or if you move to the right, you're in, like, section number 2. You have to be right under the ledge to catch it.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't like about that game, where I want to jump. It would seem that I want to jump and grab the ledge, but no, I actually want to roll in front of the wall, like, 5, 6 times.
Well, you're talking about Shadow of the Colossus now.
And Prince of Persia. That happened to me.
I was actually referring to the original Prince of Persia here. I don't want to get confused with the newer ones.
Oh, the original one.
Yeah, the original ones. Which is, like, you're here, you walk forward, you're 1 step forward. Same with Out of This World.
Oh, yeah.
Flashback and all those. But this game was built to just have a guy who can run around, he can do all the things he does, like catch on ledges or climb up vines or whatever, and so they made it universal, but in doing that, it also, you know, makes it harder to be grasping onto things, because there isn't that context sensitivity.
I do have to give the game credit for Like, they make it so you see the cool things, like, ooh, I can do all this jumping stuff and, like, jump off walls, but they make it so you do that, like, early in the beginning, and then it slowly goes away, so you're not annoyed by, oh, I fell off this ledge, and now I have to do this all over again. You know, there's only a few times where that came up, and like I said, you know, about a third way through, that would have happened, and I would have been like, I don't like this game because it's really annoying. I don't play it anymore.
Yeah, I can appreciate them going for the high road and trying to make it, like I said, universal and just have to work.
Yeah.
Because there's a guy and there's a mountain, well, then he should be able to climb it if there's a ledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just saying, you can climb this ledge and whatever. But bottom line is, you know, when I played it, I had to make the same jump like four times. Go up, you know, go around here, climb the vine, get on this ledge, turn, you know, hand over hand onto the other side of the ledge so I can jump across. Oh, I failed, right? Do it again and do almost exactly the same thing, but suddenly make it. Right.
Well, that was my first problem with the newer Prince of Persia, where I'd have to go through all this stuff and then die, and now I have to do it all over again.
Well, my roommate, same thing today. He played Shadow of the Colossus first time, did the same crap. He had to do the same jump over and over again.
Yeah.
Just like, they need to find a way for that not
to happen. I was trying to help him, and you kept telling me to shut up.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Chatterboxers. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I am all over this, aren't I?
Nate's on top of things tonight. That's
and
Nate. I'm alone.
Sick. That's great. Just want to remind you folks, if you're looking to get into the gaming industry, check out uat.edu.
Who sounds like he's reading something off of paper now?
It's me. Now this is me drinking my orange juice.
All right. If you go to uat.edu, that's how you can learn how to get into the gaming industry, at least with the University of Advancing Technology. We did it. We loved it.
It was great.
And now we have a radio show.
And you can, too, have a radio show.
That's a total lie. I'll take your show down. All right, so Nate wanted to talk all about...
unions today. The Escapist had a nice article last week.
Wasn't it like last month?
Was it last month? I believe it's a weekly.
No? Last week we were looking at it, and it wasn't even the most recent episode.
It wasn't? All right. You pointed it to me, so I just found it.
Okay.
So I'm assuming it's last week.
The grand researcher.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, take care of it.
Anyways, so at some point in the past, The Escapist did a nice article about unionizing and if they should have it or not. The reviewer or editorialist, he was really pushing that they should have it. I'm a little skeptic on it. Skeptical? Skeptic's not really a word, but skeptical of it. Mainly, I'm just kind of wary of anything that once any organization gets too big, it becomes, you know, too powerful for its own good.
Now, we understand, of course, that's the whole reason that he wants the unionizing, to deal with the fact that the publishers and everything have become too big.
Yeah, I think workers and, you know, business can come to a reasonable resolution that's better than, you know, litigation or unionizing, you know.
Totally different things.
That's me.
Unionizing and litigation, different things.
I know.
All right.
I'm just saying, you know, so they don't, like, just sue the company or the company sues them or for breach of contract or something
like
that.
All right, so what were the major points, though, that they were brought up for why he thinks that unionization is a positive thing?
Sorry, I have a very sore throat, so I'm constantly drinking orange juice, like, every five words. Well, basically he was just saying that, I mean, really, it's the only way they're going to get a fair deal. And he was bringing it back to, like, the miners back in, like, in the 1920s, you know, until they all stand up and say, listen, we're not going to work until you start, you know, not making us work 80, 100 hours a week. You know, we need to organize and do this. And you're not going to do it by, you know, going your own way. They feel that, you know, we're not cogs in a big wheel of big business, and they need to realize that and not kill us. You know.
So the point being that basically all the workers are being put through a bunch of crap and getting a raw deal.
That's right.
And unless they all stand up and say, hey, you know, give us not such a raw deal, kind of like the voice actors did.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, that SAG did for the voice actors to get them a better deal, which of course worked, even though it was lame and I think they were getting enough money to begin with.
Yeah.
So now, like... they're complaining. They used the story of EA, the EA spouse letters, you know, how this woman or man made a big stink about his or her spouse being dealt poorly at EA, right? And this person was a developer,
I guess, working too much, not getting paid enough,
whatever.
Well, he was working 8 hours a week, and there's like a loophole because they're considered entertainment. So they don't have to pay him overtime. So really, they were working 80 hours a week and getting paid for like 40.
Yeah. Now, this happens a lot, though, especially in game development or any software development, where there's a big push at the end of a project.
Well, see, well, her thing was that EA was making it, there was always a push. Like, there was scheduled pushes, and they would be all the time. Like, you'd start a project, and, oh, first week's done, so we're in crunch mode now. And, oh, we're now in crunch mode again. You know, so they can bang games out every, you know, 6 months.
Not really a fantastic system.
Not a good system.
All right. So, you think there's any reality to this? That they're actually going to manage it? Or was he just being like, hey, this needs to happen?
Well, there's always been talk that they should unionize. Really, honestly, I don't see a problem with it. I'm wary of unions. There's always drawbacks, though. You know, labor costs will increase. And, you know, unions have dues, initiation fees, so you have to pay that. But increased labor costs don't help anyone. You know, the developer has to, you know, not the developer, the publisher has to pay for this. And, you know, if they keep pushing it off, you know, the stockholders get mad when, wait, we're paying more? You know, we want that money. So then they have to push that off to the retailers.
Yeah, but...
And retailers get pushed off to the consumers. And we're not going to pay that because we'll get really pissed off because we don't want to pay more for our games.
But now, just recently, I remember seeing on Slashdot a little clip about... the guy at Epic Games, who's always in the news lately.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was him complaining that it's not that games cost so damn much, it's just the inefficiency of these giant publishers like EA to do things properly. So, like, oh, we need 3,000 employees and $30 million to make a game, they say. And he's like, no, it's because they're all idiots. And
oh, yeah, I'm sure these design teams get, like... outrageous, you know. I mean, you don't need that many artists.
When you have the machine with the cogs and all the people, things get more expensive. I don't know about exponentially, but certainly things get considerably more expensive as there's a lot more people. And there just doesn't need to be. And I think Epic's a perfect example of that. They started out super small as a shareware company.
Oh, yeah.
And they do really well now, and they put out excellent products, and they're not giant.
Oh, well, even, you know, Rainbow Studios, they're getting to the point where they have... almost too many. They're kind of hit a watershed moment that they got to start, you know, really putting out good games, or, you know, they're paying, you know, people money that they're not getting in, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, every company has examples of that, of wasted effort, right? But, you know, there's the example of the giant companies that put out games every year, and then, you know, there's just a small house like Rainbow, which really is just a developer, not much of a publisher.
Yeah.
And so it's a different story. But these big guys make, I think, a significant number of poor decisions, and they make a lot of claims to protect themselves, because everyone in that company, all 3,000 people, don't want to lose their jobs, right?
Well, yeah. Well, that's another thing I, you know, don't like with unions, because, like, again, with all the costs, there's always layoffs when, you know, they unionize. Because this, I don't know, my thing, I always follow the money. That's my kind of thing. You know, big businesses don't like to spend money, and if they have a union, oh, we got to pay many people more. It's like, well, maybe we'll, you know, pay you more, but we'll have less people. And then maybe this will solve the inefficiency problem. You know, maybe then they'll start buckling down and being more, you know, efficient with their managers and line producers and stuff like that.
Really, do we have a bottom line here? Does Chatterbox like unionization?
I guess I would be, you know, union neutral, I guess, if you'd say. I don't think it's bad, but at the same time, I don't think it's good when it gets too big, because then it can become corrupt. But then you can say that for anything that gets too big.
So as usual, we're taking an on-the-fence point of view.
That's right. Or at least I am. I have, you know, you can make up your own decision.
All right. You're the one who did the research on this one, man. I tried to read up about it. Really, it just talked about the history of unions and what they were, and it was like going back to 11th grade history. And then, like, okay, yeah, they probably should unionize, because they're getting the big shaft.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to get a fair anything with, you know, just a voice of one, you know, unless you can, like, group and, you know, organize and say, you know, like, listen, you got to listen to us, not Steve, the artist, you know, saying, I need, you know, less hours and more pay.
I think what the article should have done is looked into the history of the development of the Screen Actors Guild, because I think that's significantly more analogous to the situation, because it's an entertainment field, rather than looking at, you know, the minds of the early 1900s.
Yeah.
Because it's going to have the same difficulty of getting a giant group of people, all of whom are, I mean, there's the ones who are in the industry, and then there's the ones who are willing to work for free to get into the industry, right?
Yep.
That makes it extremely difficult to put any demands on the companies behind it all. Because when you've got a lot of people willing to work for free, right, why pay the developers money?
Yeah, but that's... that we're still kind of in that area. It's like the information is slowly getting out now, but we're still in the area where, like, kids in high school and colleges, like me, it's, oh, it's a fantasy world where I'll just play games and people will give me money. No, it's a lot of work. And, you know, when you start out, unless you're really, really good, you'll make, like, no money, and you'll work long hours. And unless you constantly improve yourself, nothing will happen. You'll continue to not do well, and it'll just get worse, and you'll get burnt out, and you'll leave.
Yeah. It's still a situation, though, where you've got a huge group of people wanting to get in, and then you've got, you know, obviously from that huge group, some are going to be worthwhile, but they're still going to be willing to do whatever it takes to get in. And so I'm just saying, making the union, if it ever happens, would be incredibly difficult. And I don't know anything about the history of the SAG, but I'm willing to bet it would face all of the same hurdles.
Oh, yeah.
Have, like, very similar benefits.
Like I said, if a union happens, I mean, I would be surprised if it happens anytime in the near future. But it would be, again, I'm on the fence. It would be good or not, but we got to go. So
we do. All right. We'll be back in a few minutes, everybody, after the news, after the break. Stay with us.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show for Sunday, October 30th. Nate has just joined me after a long, long trip to the bathroom during the break.
That's right.
So glad to have him back. And I want you guys to join us, too, at 866-536-1100. That's toll-free for pretty much anybody in the world. As long as you're in North America.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So give us a call. Or some parts of Canada, I believe.
Well, North America. Genius.
No, Canada is in North America?
Ding, 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 ding. 866-536-1100 is the number. Feel free to talk about anything. The other topics that we haven't gotten to yet that I want to talk about. Well, there's all sorts of things. We said we were going to talk about Nintendo's Wi-Fi future, so I guess I will do that.
We got to talk about the PS3 and their latest revelation.
Yeah, well, we can discuss that too. So what I wanted to talk about last week, about Nintendo's Wi-Fi future, they made the announcement, they're teaming up with McDonald's, and how much better can you do than getting your product or your service available through basically the biggest chain in the universe? I don't know if Walmart is bigger or something.
I think McDonald's.
They're big enough to have McDonald's in Walmarts.
That's right.
I don't know. Regardless, McDonald's is a huge network of
bad
false,
food place.
Yeah, false flavoring. And obesity, yeah, it's big.
Listen, Ronald's my friend.
I'm sure. So here's the deal. They say, listen, McDonald's, you already offer Wi-Fi through a lot of your locations. I don't know about all of them, but a lot of them do. So we're going to give you the software you need to provide Wi-Fi for the Nintendo DS. You might not realize this, but the Nintendo DS doesn't work with standard Wi-Fi signals. It's not like any other PC or like, for instance, the PSP, which can just work with your router right
out
of the box.
That would have been too easy a lot.
Oh, no. So. Yeah. I think they did it to protect themselves from being hacksawed by the UAT hacksaws.
That's right.
But
they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Get those missiles ready.
So I'm guessing they did it to protect themselves. But, you know, so now they can also control exactly where people use it, since you need either, like, your home router probably running some special software or something, or actually just the game, I think, will have the software in it to work with standard routers. Or, you know, you go to a McDonald's that can handle it. So, you go to this McDonald's, one of like 6,000 in the country, which really has got to be a lot of them. Because that's what, like,
it's
over 100 per state?
At least.
Yeah.
I'm bad with math, but that sounds about right.
It's a lot. So you go to McDonald's, you can use your Nintendo DS to play Wi-Fi games. And that's, you know, that's great. I think it's cool that they're providing this free service to everybody. And that was what they said from the very beginning, that we're not going to want anybody to spend more money.
Oh, well, that's the one thing I like about how they're like, we'll do it for
the
free.
The problem is, they're teaming up with McDonald's.
Yeah.
Right? And for anybody who's seen that Morgan Spurlock movie, you know, Super Size Me,
yeah.
Right. The really, truth comes out, and they say, you know what, you probably shouldn't
ever set foot
near a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And to say that the future of our children and their entertainment is just slowly being farmed into and closer to McDonald's just doesn't make me feel good.
Now, I want to know, the schools that have the McDonald's for lunch, will that have Wi-Fi?
You know, it's up to Nintendo to make that deal. Individual locations will need to decide to provide Wi-Fi. So I just don't feel good that they're taking a product which is aimed almost completely at children, and they're
cramming
they're
it in a
McDonald's, like another advertising venue, another way to say, hey, you should come to us. Kids already want to go to McDonald's all the time, right? And so now they're going to want to be there even more, and it's going to give them a competitive advantage over the likes of anybody else, right?
True.
I guess if you're going to Burger King or McDonald's, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But seriously, like, we need fewer reasons for these kids to go to McDonald's, not more.
Now, are they going
to have
the Wi-Fi in the places that have the playpen? Are they saying you should play video games instead of exercising?
Oh, they already do they have Nintendo 64s that you can play at those areas?
Really?
Of course, they're all broken because Nintendo 64 is the most broken controller on the planet.
Yeah, I think it
after it gets used 3 times by a kid who doesn't care about it, it's dead. So anyway, I just don't like the fact that they teamed up with McDonald's. It is good they're getting the service out to people, but it sucks that they had to do it this way, and I wish they could have found another method. That's all. Now, in very related news, we'll make the point that no Wi-Fi games are actually available for the DS yet, right? But even without any Wi-Fi games being out, Nintendo doesn't support it yet. Nintendo has not provided any help to people who want to get it working on their own. There's this effort, this money that's been put out for bounty, basically, for anyone who can discover how to make the Wi-Fi features work for someone who does homebrew programming.
Ooh.
Right? So somebody just this week did the first half of the contest where he discovered, like, I don't want to get too technical for 2 reasons, because I don't know all the technical details, and I don't think anybody listening cares.
Yeah.
But, like, they discovered the hardware registers, and he documented them. So now they need to put it all together so that it can be more usable by homebrew developers. But, like, the first half of the contest were, without any help from Nintendo, he basically figured out how the hardware works, or where the parts of the hardware are so that they can figure out how to get it to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened. Before a game is even on the market that can use it.
But that's with anything, you know. Like the PSP, I mean, how...
And the PSP, the Wi-Fi worked right out of the box.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that the fact that, you know, how long was it? A couple days they hacked it? Yeah.
Yeah, good point. But, yeah, I just think it's interesting that Nintendo tried to protect themselves, right? And before it was even a point, because the games aren't even out. Although, the whole point of this is that homebrew people can make their own software and use the networking features of it. But
at McDonald's.
Yes. Pretty soon, I mean, you're going to be able to use it on your own router without special software. I was wrong about that before. You also can get, like, anywhere you can use Wi-Fi. If you don't, let's say you don't have Wi-Fi at your house, you just have a standard internet connection without the wireless part, you can plug in a USB wireless dongle thing that will work with the DS.
Oh,
or you
really?
Yeah, you can bring that with you to a place that is providing Wi-Fi to you that isn't McDonald's. So you can go to, like, T-Mobile, right, and get your computer working, and then you plug in this device, and it'll share the internet connection to your DS.
Oh, that's cool.
Right, so you have to buy more stuff.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, that's the grand scheme.
Well, see, Nintendo's actually trying to avoid that, but yeah.
Yeah, except with the Revolution, where they'll have all these attachments for their nice controller.
All right, let's not get into that.
Finally, so, I just want to say this. Another guy doesn't like the controller like I do, Mr. Mark Rain.
Woo, congratulations.
I'm just glad there's another voice out there.
It's not that he doesn't like the controller. I think he doesn't like the implications of the controller and how developers are going to try to make games just to have little niche-y, interesting things.
Yeah, that's what
it.
I don't like, because, oh, look, now I can buy the, you know, spatula attachment for my, you know, Revolution controller, and I can play the, you know, flip the hamburger.
I love that stuff. I love peripherals. Anyway, we've got a caller.
Well, you can buy them all.
We've got a caller from Iraq, I guess. This is probably the guy who asked me if he could call in sometimes, so
oh,
we're definitely
cool.
going to take this
call.
Greg, you're on the air.
Greg?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, thanks. What
How
can
are
we
you
do
doing?
For you?
I guess in the state of things, fine. As, you know, provide the situation.
Well, that's understandable.
Over here and all, but... No, but my question was kind of concerning, like, you know, I was hearing you guys talking about the, like, the Nintendo DS, you know, having Wi-Fi and making a deal with McDonald's. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, the practicality in that, because, I mean, it seems kind of pointless. And, I mean, is this, like a big, just, like, a corporate gain, or is it, actually, you know, what do the users really get out of it besides, oh, look, I can have Wi-Fi capability inside, you know, McDonald's, and that's it?
Well, the point is this, that Nintendo, from the very beginning, they said, we want to provide Wi-Fi, and one of the reasons we haven't done it yet is that we don't want to give people, we don't want to force people to spend more money for this sort of service. So we have to figure out a way to provide it for free. Now, McDonald's is basically implanted into our society. It's a permanent fixture, and it's everywhere. So it really, really is like the perfect venture, joint venture, Nintendo working with them to get this out there, because no matter where you are, and 6,000 locations across the country is a lot, no matter where you are, you can use it. And, I mean, you might not be able to do it in your house, but it's somewhere that you might go often anyway, and so kids can actually use this functionality. The point is, they're going to buy Wi-Fi games, and if they're not ever going to be able to use it, why would they buy them? And why would Nintendo or any company bother putting it into their games? But since it's going to be so widely available, Nintendo has accomplished their goal of making it free and accessible. And I think that's what I said. That's what's great. I just wish it wasn't at a place that's so detrimental to kids' health.
That's you can say that for pretty much anything, really.
Because, because I thought, McDonald's, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's a corporation ingrained into our society. I mean, like you said, McDonald's are just everywhere. I mean, even right where I live, I have, like, two McDonald's, like, right next to each other, which literally are, like, a street's width apart. One of them, like, the really, really, like, big, huge McDonald's, and one just, like, a little mediocre one. And, like a mile or two up the street, there's, like, even another one. But I guess I'm kind of surprised that McDonald's would actually have, like, the technology to have, like, a decent range, you know, to where, you know, you don't have to be, like, right inside the McDonald's only to play, you know.
Oh, well, you do. No, they're not providing it for everybody in the city through McDonald's or anything. You've got to be at McDonald's, and that's why I think the restaurant thinks it's so great, because it's another reason for people to come into their restaurant.
And stay there and buy food.
Yeah, exactly. Stay there for hours and hours and buy more food. And anyway, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
I appreciate it. This is wild. We're getting a call from Iraq.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He emailed me and was like, you know, can I call in sometime? We can call the States.
See, no one emails me. I don't get any love. No one wants to talk to me. I can forward everything to you
from now on. So that's cool. But yeah, it's just the fact that McDonald's is everywhere is good. And then, McDonald's obviously has an advantage because it brings people to them. So, yeah, it works for both parties. Like I said, it just sucks that it has to be
at
McDonald's. Anyway, we've got Mitchell from New York, Brooklyn Bruiser. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hey,
what can I do for you?
I want to talk about Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Battlefront is a big favorite of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Am I right?
Best game ever, I think he called it.
All right. Now, given that
I
haven't played the
game.
Best
game ever, did I?
I think I did see you say best game ever once.
I think I said best Star Wars game ever.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
It is. And I played a demo of Battlefront 2 on the special features disc for Star Wars Episode 3.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome.
Glad to hear it. I have not had the opportunity to play it at
Actually,
all.
I played the one on the special features back when I was in that awful house that I used to live at.
Yeah.
My roommate Shay bought it on his high def big TV, so we played it a little bit. I thought it was really fun. I liked it. There was some issues that, you know, it's not my type of game, but I liked it. So.
People have told me good things about Battlefront 2. Was there anything specific you wanted to say about it?
I just wanted to say that it was awesome, and when it comes out on Tuesday, go buy it. Because they have, like, the space battles, where you have, like, all the huge-ass ships that are from, like, the Episode 3 ships and the Star Destroyers, and they look fantastic, and there are laser bolts flying everywhere. It's awesome.
All right, well, obviously a big fan of Star Wars.
And if anyone would want to send us two copies, take care of Chatterbox, go right ahead.
Nate, always working the angle. Thanks for the call, Mitchell. I appreciate
it. Send one my way, too.
All right. You know, if they send us one... Yay.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. For serious. That one's for you, Brooklyn. All right. It was funny because Andrew got all mad. He's like, what did he say?
What?
He said ships, right? Ships. All right.
I think it's... can we say what we're talking about?
It was funny, though. Andrew's eyes got all wide-eyed. What? All right. So we've only got a minute left before we have to go to break. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about a very interesting dance game that is about to be released. Might also talk a little bit about the Mafia. That was in the news lately.
Yep.
All these wonderful topics to cover as soon as we're back. So stay tuned, everybody. And we'll be back in, what, like 4 minutes? 3 minutes? It'll be soon.
See you
then. Go have a Coke.
Have a Coke. I guess.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. You know what's good about this show?
What?
Is that on the air, we can say pussy, but yeah. We can't say the T word that refers to breasts.
That's right.
Can't say that.
Isn't radio great?
Yes. We gotta make a song about that. Andrew might cut that if we did it, if we were just started singing pussy, pussy, pussy all night. But I just wanted to point that out. We can also say ships. We can discuss large battleships.
Yep.
We can't play the battle ship game in the bathroom.
That's right.
That the word that's used for that game,
mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be allowed.
That would not be allowed on there.
All right.
Bodily functions, I believe, we're not allowed to discuss.
Can't discuss it. Things being expelled from the body, not discussable.
So if I were to spit, we'd have to drop that.
Yeah. If we ever went on, you know, some other private satellite radio.
Then we'd be fine.
Whatever
we
want. We
could say whatever we want.
All right. And we could talk about how Alon loves gays.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Now, speaking of that, there's a wonderful dance game that I just read about today. It's called Digital Praise. And, I'm sorry, Digital Praise is the name of the company, which makes the game called Dance Praise. So it's a Christian-themed Dance Dance Revolution game. It's not really Dance Dance Revolution, but it's DDR. Right?
Yeah.
The four arrows. You're dancing to music.
But it's Jesus dancing.
Yeah, yeah. And one of their marketing efforts, they say, unlike any other dancing game, unlike any other dancing game, on-screen lyrics reinforce Christian values, and you can sing along as you step to the beat. So some of the lyrics I was able to find on the website are, I get down and he lifts me up, right? Which, by the way, sounds really gay to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I do hope that there's lots of lyrics about not letting gays marry,
mm-hmm.
and about populating the world, which is as much of your seed as possible.
That's right.
No contraception.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be good.
That's
killing abortion
control.
Doctors.
Yep.
Also, they need to have positive Christian value lyrics,
mm-hmm.
in these games, so they can teach the kids from the get-go who are dancing to these wonderful games that there are values in the world
that's
that
right.
might differ from other people's.
I know. You,
the Christian values are better.
You should be very tolerant to people exactly like you.
Yes. That's what we love about Dance Praise. I haven't actually played it. Who knows what it's like? It might even be fun. But
maybe.
It is.
Hey, I'm sure it's no Bible buffet, but
it's very interesting to me that it's coming out. Really, those religious folks, they're on the ball. They make a lot of products.
Apparently they make a lot of money in other areas, and they're trying to untap this. Actually, there's a game coming out. I believe it's called Armageddon, but it's like a first-person shooter. But it's like the Armageddon. I'm not sure if you're an angel. I just saw a little.
Do you shoot like Care Bear beams of caring?
I'm sure you shoot rainbows and make people. You give people hugs.
That'll be interesting. All right. So, yeah, Dance Praise. Go get it. You can. I think you can order it right now. $50. Comes with a dance pad for the PC. So I also said I wanted to talk about Mafia, something that came out in the news this past week. I think it was this week, maybe the week before. Anyway, talk about the Gizmondo, which finally released in the United States. And you might think, the Gizmondo, this handy-dandy little machine that has GPS tracking and everything.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That looked really interesting.
Well, I've talked about it in the past on the show, too, about how GPS in a handheld video game system really is it's one of the most wonderful features that's missing from the mainstream ones.
Oh, yeah, you could totally do the Pac-Manhattan thing that they did a while back.
It would be so fantastic to have GPS built into a handheld system and actually used well for games. Real life. You get out of your house, walk around, and interact with other people within a game. It'd be great. Unfortunately, no games actually do that on the Gizmondo.
Yeah.
But theoretically, they could.
It's a good idea. I don't know what it is. It's like Find Uncle Bob or something like that. You might know more of this than I. I read a little bit about it. But like, it is a game like that. I think it uses cell phones. But your key is just to find some guy. He's not real, but he's like real in a virtual world, and you try and find him.
All right.
It's cool, but you actually like, leave your house and go on trains and stuff like that.
I think I read a little snippet about that, but I don't know anything about it. So here's my point with Gizmondo. Like I said, it has some good ideas. Unfortunately, it is crap, and everybody knows it's crap.
Yeah.
And all the games that are released for it are total crap.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on these big, this big show in England when it first released. And they're like, oh, this, everyone loved it. It was great. And nobody liked it. And it just came out in the U.S. and it's still crap. Even though they have a press release saying
I went to their site, and it showed, like, it talked about how their store was going to open real soon, but it never gave an address. I thought that was really funny. Because, like, oh, where do I go? Oh, no, it doesn't say.
Yeah.
I can only get it at the store that is somewhere.
I can't go to. So here's the thing, though. We, just like Infinium Labs, we're convinced, is a bunch of maniacal fools at the top just trying to steal money from people. Gizmondo, you'd think... They're releasing this handheld into a market that can't sustain a crappy handheld because there's already good ones.
Oh.
And they're putting a ton of money into this. And when you have a company with a ton of money, the people at the top of the company, regardless of what happens, they get paid a lot. That's how big business works. They get paid millions of dollars. And so apparently, the guys involved in Gizmondo making a bunch of money, but they're also sort of linked to the Swedish mafia. Just a little bit.
Why is that bad?
I don't know. Been arrested for like counterfeiting and some other stuff, and I'm not going to read the whole article here.
And when I, so like if I start counterfeiting, does that limit me? I can't make a handheld anymore?
Well, you probably just won't make a very good one. You'll be too busy counterfeiting. So anyway, it's not so surprising to me anymore that this machine has actually been
pushed.
Well,
they should make games with what they know. They could make like a counterfeiting game.
They could. That'd be
or
good on the DS,
how to
actually.
Join the Swedish Mafia game.
Imagine a counterfeiting game on the DS where you have to draw, you know, the picture of the president.
There you
right?
go.
It tells you how good you did. All right, so the Gizmondo released, and they even put out press releases saying that it was released with much anticipation or something. Everybody wanted it, yay, and nobody does. So now at least I understand it, that it's big guys at the top spending a lot of money so that they make a lot of money, even though they know it's going to be crap, so that they can, like, leave the country and spend the rest of their days in Cabo and be
drinking
happy.
Mai Tais and
yeah.
counterfeiting
Dude,
more money,
the opportunity,
apparently.
But, man, there's a lot of hoodwinking going on in the video game industry. Infinium Labs, you can still go to their website. The most prominent thing on their website is information about the stock and the company, like the corporate structure of the company. Nothing about the system and how it's going to work and when you're going to be able to get it and the fact that you're supposed to be able to get it last November.
You should buy stock in that company because it's going up.
Yeah. Even though it's listed, by the way, on the over-the-counter bulletin board, which is like the seedy part of the stock market where there's no protection, no liability from these companies. Anyway.
Classy.
Yeah, this is, apparently video games are like the new place to launder money and to make money out of thin air, right? It's kind of like, I don't know, waste disposal in The Sopranos. Anyway, I thought that was great news that we're being infested by mafiosa. All right, new topic. New topic. What else? You wanted to talk about the
PS3?
I wanted
to talk about the PS3. They recently announced that, oh yeah, we might not be backwards compatible. That's awesome.
Well, it's great because they said it's going to be backwards compatible, so Xbox or Microsoft was like, well, okay, we have to make the 360 backwards compatible.
So did they just pull a psych? You know?
Well, I've said this before, that Sony has done this time
and
time again.
They lie almost as much as I do,
yeah.
I dare say.
They make comments and like, on-the-record information about their systems.
That's not going to happen.
And before they ever come out, they're like, yeah, you know what? Nah, the PSX didn't have a lot of the, like, TiVo stuff that it was supposed to have.
Hey, like we were showing today, we played Shadow of the Colossus. Where was the emotion in that guy's face? The emotion engine was supposed to be in there. Emotion engine.
Sony-branded game didn't have emotion on the dude's face in Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, he was just very...
emotionless. Yeah. All right, very that
stiff.
Was nitpicky. But yeah, the fact that it might not be 100% backwards compatible, totally lame, because they completely implied it would be.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of the show today, everybody. That's all.
Thanks
music,
for listening.
And we're going to go. Let me know how I should give away all those mod kits. Send me an email or something.
Send me an email. Alon gets enough. I don't get any. I get friends from my guy who wants me to help him get $22 million.
In Nigeria.
That's
we
got
to go, everybody. We'll be back next week, as always. We'll see you.
Later.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.